Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. So blessed to be here this morning. That message was for me. How many times have I put water on a flame that God had burning? And this morning I want to keep that fire burning in each one's heart that's already been started and blown on and fueled. God's word is precious and dear, and I hope it remains precious and dear to us. I hope it becomes dearer this morning as we share together. A lot of you, or some of you people, know me and know my history, and it kind of causes trepidation because the last you knew me, I wasn't necessarily a preacher and wouldn't have been a preacher because of my attitudes and choices, and grew up with some here that would know my history. But I'm so glad this morning this message is not about me, but it's about our Heavenly Father. And it's our Heavenly Father, I hope, becomes more precious to each of us because of this message. The message title is The Father Heart of God. I think we would all admit that we have been confused and frustrated because we don't understand the Father Heart of God like we should. I think we probably recognize the fact, at least some of us here recognize the fact, that when we were created in our mother's womb, God had a special plan for each of us. And I hope that plan becomes clearer as we recognize the Father Heart of God and what it really is in a more real way this morning. I don't profess to know more than any of you, but I do profess to love and serve a God that has a special purpose for me. And I would say the same thing for each of you. When God formed you in your mother's womb, He had a special purpose in mind for you. And sometimes we get messed up in our thinking about that because things that happen in our past, as the brother already shared, there's things that put the flame out. We tend to blame other people for our failures. Well, you know, my mother didn't really appreciate me. I was the second from the bottom of a line of 14. And she, basically, I was a number. So I didn't really, you know, God didn't show me His love through that mother because she was too busy. So I go on this long row of, well, I don't know love, and I know, you know, God doesn't show me His love, and He just totally runs me into the wrong place. And I've heard testimonies of people that know that they were rejected when they were born, and I know these things are true. These things have a lasting effect on us. If your mom and dad were hollering when you were in your mother's womb and fighting and carrying on and didn't even want you to come in the first place, they had a plan that they were going to wait so long before they had children. And it wasn't in their plan that you were born. And you knew that before you were even born. I know it has effect on your life. But God here is here this morning to tell you that even though my parents have failed me, even though I'm not saying my parents have failed me, don't get me wrong, I had a loving mother. And I'm amazed at how much love she showed me, even though I was the child number 13. But, you know, I'm just using that as an illustration that how we can get deceived into thinking that God did not show me His love. That's the devil's story, and it's not true. With Job, if you would think about Job's experience, when Job was there and he had all this stuff, offering all these sacrifices for his children. And then here, it wasn't just the fact that Satan was trying to get to Job. It wasn't that at all. It was actually God that said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." God's love for Job woke up the devil to the fact that Job was a perfect and upright man. This morning, if you're facing trials, any of us are facing trials, God loves you. He's waking up the devil to the fact that you're here. You're a perfect and upright man, but I don't have a close enough relationship with Him. I want a closer relationship with Him. That's why God woke up the devil to the fact that Job was a perfect and upright man. And that's why he's waking up the devil that you and I are here this morning. And whenever we face a trial, let's remember that that's the Father heart of God coming out. He's wanting us to go through this trial to draw us closer to him. And so many times we resist him because we don't know the heart of God. This morning, God's heart is so faithful. We can be faithful at saying the Lord's Prayer from heart by heart from beginning to end. And we can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We don't even understand the fact that Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. We don't even know what the word hallowed means. This morning, I hope we can come to the end of ourselves, to the bottom of ourselves, and recognize the fact that God is trying to draw us to his heart. He wants us to have a relationship with him. That's why he created us. That's why we're here this morning. Because God wants us to have a perfect relationship with him. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 18. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That is God's promise. He wants to be our father. Just because we have these false concepts of why we're taken through trials. This morning I had to think about Jeff and Carol and their five children. And the forgiveness that was met because they understood the heart of God. And they were able to forgive because, you know, God brought these trials to draw them closer to him. I don't know what all they went through. I'm sure there was battles. But this morning I'm so glad to be here and see them. And see them, you know, God gave them a couple more children. And it's all because they understood God's love. They could have got bitter. They could have turned against God. And I have cousins that have turned against God because of the terrible things that happened to them. They're bitter people today. They're running themselves into their grave. And I'm praying for them that they would understand the true heart of God. God is trying to draw them. And they're rejecting his love. Isaiah 64 verse 8, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thine hands. Everyone sitting here this morning are the work of a loving Heavenly Father. Whether you're going through trials, whether you feel like, I don't know your situations this morning, but we've been in situations where, you know, my love for someone, my desire to flame that person's or to blow on that person's flame has made him turn against me because he understood it as rejection. He didn't understand the love of God. I know I had love for that person, but he thought I was being critical. And you know, I fail. I recognize the fact that I could not understand love the way I should. But to see people walk away from God, to any father or mother or church leader, whatever thing we face, whatever people we have a relationship with, it causes disturbance. We see them walking away from God. And they don't always feel that love. And you can go back to the time that you were, okay, you were born, you were shown love as you were a baby, your mother cooed to you, sang to you, And as you grow older, that same love pulled out the stick. The same love that cuddled you and you know, fed you and all that. That same love that it made a stopping place in your life. That love it gave you an impression of the Father's love. This morning, if you're here and your parents did not mete out punishment when you disobeyed, that you gave you a false impression of God's love. God's love stops us when we're disobeying. That's what God's love is. And we have to have a proper balance this morning when we think of what life has to offer and how much God loves us. Well, we all know how it all started in the Garden of Eden. When he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, he had enough relationship, desire for relationship. He took man and he formed him in his own image. And he took a rib out of him. He took special interest in man and woman. And we are here this morning because of that interest that God has in human beings. He created us in his image. He created us for relationship. And it was that same God that created us for relationship that placed that tree in the Garden of Eden. with that forbidden fruit on it. You say, if God would have really loved Adam and Eve, he would have never gave them the choice. He would have just made everything right for them. This morning, that is not the way relationships work. If God would have created us in that way, there would be no relationship because we would have no choice to serve God. This morning, we have a choice to serve God, and that gives more of a relationship. There's more meaning to it. I mean, how can a puppet have a relationship? There's no way. Because God would just take us and move us around, and there would not be no choice to serve him. And that's the same way it is with us as parents, as we just wish our children would disobey us. No, he gave them a choice because he loved them, just like he loved us. He gave each of us a choice to come to the end of ourselves and reach out and grab a hold of something stable. This morning, I hope we can, if we have these rejections this morning, these rejected feelings of self that feel like everybody's against us, I hope we can understand the fact that God gave us a choice, and the choice he wants is a choice to love and serve him. And in doing that, we're going to love and serve each other, just like the brother talked. We can't stand to see our brother flailing along in his selfishness, his self-righteousness, whatever it is. Everybody sees it. He wants us to love and care for him enough to have a relationship with him, just like God had for us. There's so much to share. I don't want to take time. I see some of you are fighting sleep, and I want to make this. I hope that you know, that song we sang, it talked about waking us up this morning. I hope God can wake us up in a spiritual sense to the real desire that he has for our relationship. We're here this morning not out of a sense of duty. I trust not. I hope we're not here because, okay, it's just the old thing that mom and dad always did, and you know, they always took us to church whether we wanted to or not, and this is just a ritual. But God has given us here, he's given us an opportunity here today. He's given us an appointment. There's an appointment for each of us to fill, just like we already said. God has a special purpose. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. This is talking about Jesus coming and dying on the cross. It's for all of us. We have to come to the end of ourselves, give up ourselves, and after this we'll be judged by how we view God's love. This morning I hope no one will leave here with a false impression of God's love, that they will walk away from God because of things that I shared. This morning, God wants you in his arms more than we want our children in our arms. You know, our children reach the age of accountability, and we're just hoping they make a choice to serve the Lord. We're praying and hoping they make a choice to serve the Lord. We don't want to get in the way. We want to make sure that they have a right impression of God. So we do what it takes, but we fail. And when the sooner we understand that we failed in representing God's love to our children, the sooner we recognize that we have failed our children, we've threatened and you know, everything but meted out discipline when they disobeyed. As soon as we realize that, God is trying to wake us up to the fact that we are deceiving our children on the way God's heart really is. God doesn't want our children to get by with disobedience. He wants them to know who he is. When God said what he said in the Garden of Eden, that if you eat that fruit, you will die, he wants the same thing for our children. The sooner we recognize that we've failed in passing on that information to our children, the sooner our children will recognize who God and what his love is. So let's not just give up. Let's not throw up our hands and say, I know we failed. Our children are rebellious and it's because of mine. I'm just going to give up. There's no sense in it. No. God wants us to feel like a failure. The reason he wants us to feel like a failure is so we come to the foot of the cross again and take up his cross and follow him. And make our wrongs right. The quicker you say, you tell your children you failed them, the quicker you are to recover that relationship that was lost by your failures. So this morning, failure is not a bad thing. We recognize we failed. It's a call back to a relationship with the Father and passing that on to our children. Let's not give up this morning. We have a work to do. We have children in our arms. We have children walking at our sides. We have children that are leaving us. I mean, there's lots of grandparents here that have children that are themselves, and we see them growing up, and we have a responsibility, and often that responsibility is just to commit them to Jesus. You know, in our older years, I have family that it feels like they're losing control because they're seeing that their children aren't doing what. They're not raising their children like they raised them. Some of the best thing to do, yes, offer. You know, fan the flame and help them to recognize. But if they turn against you, don't feel like a failure. Fall on your knees and pray for them. Spend time in prayer. That is a big part of fanning the flame that God has, you know, God has given us the avenue of prayer. Let's not feel rejected or feel it like we failed. But let's fan the flame. The new birth brings back the fact of what Jesus came to do. You know, God came, he created his Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden there, and he gave them a chance to desire to serve him, and they failed. And we're following in their footsteps. We failed. But let's not forget the new birth. That's the route back. For both he that sanctifieth, in Hebrews 2 verse 11, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If we feel rejection this morning, let's get back to Jesus. Jesus never rejects us. If we're walking in his footsteps, his love is real. His love is earnest. You know, if we feel rejection, it's a call back to walk with him. How does God show his fatherly heart? Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Isaiah 63 verse 9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We're sitting here this morning. We feel God's love. I saw Brother Tim go out the back door, and right away I thought, he's tired of sitting in church, so he's going to get a take a break, and he's sitting out there joking with the guy on the back bench, and here all of a sudden I realize he's out there to get me a cup of cold water. You know, we have love that we often don't recognize because of our false judgments on people, and here comes this cold cup of water that I'm failing to drink because I'm so wrapped up in, and my mouth is totally dry. So give me a break here. But that's just one illustration of how we can, you know, we can pass false judgments and we can create disturbances and failures in other people because of our false concept of God and his love. This morning, we have a comfortable place to worship. We have comfortable chairs to sit on. If that's taken away, we have no promise that this is going to be here tomorrow. You know, persecution could set in. We don't want to cause any fear in somebody's heart that caused out of time or whatever. But we don't have a promise. We don't have a promise that this will have this next Sunday. Is our love and our desire to walk with Jesus enough to carry us through if these things are taken away from us? This morning I hope we do. Let's not think that, you know, just because we did and made all the right moves, you know, we were raised in Christian homes and this Mennonite faith has held us together and now we have these comfortable benches, we have this nice church house. And no, yes, it is a matter of our choices that give us these things. But let's not, if they're taken away, let's not say, oh, well, we messed up somewhere. No, let's remember God is seeking to draw us closer to Him. Whatever trials we face is because of His love. So does God just pity His children and baby them around even when they deliberately disobey Him? Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 7, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We may have been raised in a home where the Father was a strict hand that had no relationship behind it. I don't know what all you face. But that does give a false concept of God. This morning, God deals with us as with sons. As we walk away from Him, He chastens us to bring us back. And our fathers, that was our father's desire. Whether they passed on or whether they had a relationship along with that punishment, you know, whatever, you know, if they failed in that relationship, let's never forget that God desires a relationship with you. And He gave you those parents. And it was His desire to have a relationship with you. Whether they failed or not, that's not for us to decide. But His desire for us, you and I this morning, as fathers and mothers, is to have that relationship with our children so that when we mete out punishment, the love will go along with it. And it will draw them back. If our children decide to leave home and live a life of self, I hope that we can, that you know, that love, that discipline, that whatever, that relationship that we've had will draw them back. But it's not for us to choose the lives of our children. It is for us to make right what we've done wrong in the past and correct our ways as God brings to our attention. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Sometimes we always think, we think God is a loving God. He'll never bring things against us. This morning, is that true? When the same God that gave, that the same Jesus that talked to the rich young ruler come running and he fell down at Jesus' feet. By all appearance, this man wanted a relationship with Jesus. He wanted it with all his heart. Who else would come running and fall down at the feet of Jesus and ask, what more can I do? But Jesus saw something that was in the way of that relationship. This morning, we can have all the right, in our minds, we can have all the right means of running to Jesus. We can feel like we are just ready to give all up for Jesus. But Jesus is the one that sees if there's still something there. And it was not for His desire. It was not Jesus' desire that the rich young ruler would stand up and walk off. That wasn't Jesus' desire. All Jesus wanted was a relationship with Him. You know, except you give up. These things are God's to you. Your money's a God to you. Just lay it down so that I can have a relationship with you the way I wanted. That's the way I created you for. But no, it was His choice at that point to reject Jesus because there was another God. This morning, is there other gods that are taking the place? And it could be our wife. It could be our children. Our children, you know, might be causing conflict in the church, and we're taking sides with them. But no, let's not do that. Let's recognize the fact that okay, we're here as a brotherhood. The brother talked about that. We're here as a brotherhood. We're growing together. And when there is something that the church sees in my family, it's for my own good. And you know, it could be that I'm holding up my children. I'm saying, I've done all I can, and I have a relationship with them. And now these church leaders are trying to deal with them because of something, you know, that they aren't understanding. No, let's fall down on our knees and recognize the fact that there is people that would see our family clearer than we do. Let's never let our children get between us and a relationship with God. Okay, the prodigal son. You know, we like to hold up the fact that sometimes if we're a little lenient on our discipline methods, we like to hold up the fact that when the prodigal son asks for an inheritance, we give it to him. So we just, you know, just let him do whatever he wants, because that's what Jesus said. But the whole story behind that is, here he was talking to the Pharisees and trying to impress on them the elder brother. You know, the elder brother, he never finished the story. The elder brother never finished. You know, he stopped and left the Pharisees finish the story. You know, how are you going to do? Are you going to come back to Jesus and let you take him into his arms? Or are you going to be holding off those that have a relationship with Jesus? You know, the elder brother was standing outside when Jesus finished. And they still had the choice. Do I come in? Do I confess that I had wrong attitudes toward my wayward brother? And do I come into the presence of Jesus? You know, he told that story for us today to recognize that a self-righteous attitude will destroy, and it will not show the heart of God. This morning, all he's doing, he's calling us to repent of our attitudes and to recognize that he does want a relationship with us. And when he told the story of the elder brother, there might be some of us here thinking that, well, the elder brother had reason to feel that way. Why would this father have given him an inheritance when he knew what he was doing, what he was going to do with it? The truth is, Jesus is waiting for us to come back. Whether we're an elder brother or a prodigal son, He's wanting us to fall on our knees and accept the Father heart of God. This morning, I hope we understand that that's the reason for us being here. That's the reason for what we went through in our past, is so that we can understand the true heart of God. Romans 8, verse 15 to 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to hold us in his arms. He has not given us the spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. He's adopted us, because we have chosen to give up ourselves and walk with him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to finish up with Revelation chapter 22. Maybe we're here this morning and we were from a family that we think our parents singled out my sister or my brother, and they treated them better than what they do me. This morning, if you feel that way, God is calling you to see it differently. God wants you to recognize that you are the special child, and you are the one that He was trying to wake you up ever since you felt that rejection. You know, your parents, it's hard for us as parents to pour the love on and help our children. When our children have chosen to rebel, it's hard for us to make them feel love. The more consistent we are with them, the more we are consistent we are with meeting out discipline and all the love and all together and stuff, it's not possible that a person can do it exactly right. But if you're here and feel like you were the rejected child, there is a message for you. And God wants you to feel that love. Revelation chapter 22 verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Do we want to understand a proper concept of the Father heart of God? If we do, let's never try to make room for our shortcomings by saying that Jesus came to show us we will get to heaven in spite of our shortcomings. A false concept of God's love makes room for failure. God says a lot about love. He teaches love. He teaches the way we love each other is the way that we love Him. That's all true. How can we understand the essence of being perfect in our love for God and each other if we have a false concept of the Father heart of God? Jesus said when He, was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. I want to finish up with that actually. Matthew chapter 5 verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The only way we can have a perfect relationship with God is if we recognize that everything that comes our way is for our good. Now, I hope this morning, if you have rejected feelings, that we can find ourselves at the foot of Christ and you know, come up to a relationship with Him. I was looking for the song "Come Closer, My Child, to Me." I was hoping it was in one of our song books. If I don't know what song do you have in mind? What's the title? Okay. Well, that probably, I mean, God spoke to you, and that's probably better because I couldn't find that song. So, let's kneel for prayer at this time.